Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A happy Monday. Welcome into Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser, riding solo today on the show. We do have Shawnee Sharp making an appearance middle of the show for Model Making Money. No guests, though, today. Just me, you guys, the listeners. So we got plenty of time for questions, comments, anything that you guys have on your mind. We're talking a little bit of everything today. We're diving into the NFL. We got Monday Night Football tonight between the Lions and the Niners. We got the Music City Bowl between Iowa and Mizzou. Give out a play in that game. We got college basketball plays on the slate today. We're looking at some of the other college football bowl games. NFL Week 18. We're diving into a little bit of everything. So anything that you guys have questions about, comments, any bets that you want to talk to me about, let us know. You can go to twitch.tv/BetQL or you can go to YouTube.com/OdysseySports. If you miss any part of the show as well, over the next 30 minutes, we got you covered with the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. You can also check out the show on YouTube as well. All right, glasses in session. Let's get rolling here on a Monday. We got Monday Night Football tonight between the Lions and the 49ers, and I'm sure a bunch of you, when you were looking at this line during the week, thought, man, this is stinky, right? You got Detroit, who's arguably been the best team in the NFL this year. I know they have a bunch of injuries, but still very good. Obviously a great team against the spread. Going up against San Francisco has been one of the most disappointing teams in the league this season. They're eliminated from the playoffs. They really haven't beaten that many good teams this year. And here we are with Detroit laying 3.5. And everybody's betting the Lions. Nothing but Detroit money coming in all week. And this line has stayed firm at 3.5. And now there's a big discussion around the motivation around this game, especially for Detroit, because regardless of what happens tonight, Detroit still has to beat Minnesota in the final week of the regular season to lock up the number one seed. Even if they win, even if they lose. So this game essentially means nothing, right? But it looks like the Lions are going to go out there and they're going to play all their starters. And that's kind of been Dan Campbell's MO ever since he took the job in Detroit. I believe it was last year when the Lions were in a spot in the final week of the regular season where they knew that they were locked into the three seed and they still continued to play all their guys in week 18. That's just what Dan Campbell and the Lions are all about. So anybody who's going into this game maybe a little bit worried that Dan Campbell's going to pull some starters, or maybe guys aren't going to play a certain amount of snaps or play their normal minutes, maybe if it were a lot of other teams I would be concerned, but with the Lions I don't think that's going to be a factor. You also got to keep in mind the revenge angle of this game, and obviously this being a rematch of the NFC Championship game, the Lions were up 17 points at halftime, 30 minutes away from the first Super Bowl in their franchise history. And then, of course, San Francisco makes that comeback, and they are the team that goes to the Super Bowl. So we already saw the Lions in a revenge game this year when they played Dallas and what they did in that game and how they continue to run the score up. I would expect if the Lions get a chance to continue to run the score up tonight against San Francisco, then that's exactly what they're going to do. So I think the Lions, I would approach this game as you would if it was a normal game middle of the season. I think both teams are going to be motivated. Both teams are going to play all their guys, and it should be a really good game. With all that being said, though, I'm on San Francisco plus 3.5 because boy, does this line stink. And we have had nothing but favorites win this year in the NFL, and this week has been no different. Favorites are 14-1 straight up. The only favorite that lost was the Colts to the Giants, and here we are. Detroit is the most public side of the entire week. I like San Francisco in these kind of games. In these games where nobody really likes them, they've been that kind of team this year. When people have been betting on San Francisco, when they've been backing the Niners, that's when they've let them down. But when nobody likes San Francisco, a lot like when they went up against the Bears, when they went up against the Jets in week one, that's when San Francisco tends to have their best performances. I expect them to be pretty good tonight against the Lions. And matchup-wise, I mean, the Lions, again, they have so many injuries on defense. And Kyle Shanahan, first and foremost, wants to run the football. Even without McCaffrey, even without Jordan Mason, he still wants to run the ball. And with all his running schemes that he can run, and with all the injuries that the Lions have on their defensive line, no more Aleem McNeil anymore, it's going to be tough for Detroit to stop the run. So I think San Francisco is going to be able to control the line of scrimmage, run the football. I like the Niners +3.5 tonight. I also like them in the first quarter. I look at San Francisco first quarter money line at +120. I think they get off to a fast start in this game and really get up and make the Lions play in chase mode from the start. So I like San Francisco +3.5 on the spread. I also would look at them first quarter money line at +120. As for a couple of props that I'm looking for in this game, I'm in the fantasy championship tonight, you guys. I'm down by 1 point. I have Amon-Ra St. Brown. The guy that I'm playing against has Juwan Jennings. So naturally, Juwan Jennings is probably going to have a pretty good game tonight. So me personally, I'm betting Juwan Jennings anytime touchdown at +180 to like hedge myself a little bit. But there's probably a good chance, because I'm playing against Jennings, is going to have a good game. I like his price as well at +180, going up against that banged up Lions defense and secondary. Jennings +180, I think, is a nice price for him to find the end zone. I also like Jared Goff to throw an interception tonight at +100. It's even money. Again, with this spread being as stinky as it is, and if you're like me and you like San Francisco, you got to figure that Detroit is probably going to have some turnovers tonight, and Goff's probably going to have some turnovers. This game is kind of giving me the same vibes of when Detroit played Houston on Sunday Night Football, that game where Goff threw 5 interceptions. It was the same line. Houston was 3.5-point dogs. It looked really stinky. Everybody was on Detroit. It was a primetime game. They were on the road, and Goff played probably his worst game of the season. Lions did come back to win that game. They didn't cover, but Goff threw 5 interceptions. He has, in his last 10 games, 8 of those 10 games, Goff has played. He has not thrown an interception. He's done an incredible job of taking care of the football. And yet, here we are tonight, and shouldn't that price be minus money? Shouldn't it be like -125, -130 for a guy who's done that well taking care of the football? Yet, here it is at +100 for Goff to throw an interception. I will take that bet. I also like over 246.5 passing yards for Jared Goff tonight as well. As you guys can tell, a lot of this stuff is correlated. I like San Francisco tonight plus the points. I like them to win the game. I like them to get off to a hot start. All this correlates with the Lions trailing in the game and with them throwing the football. And I know I said earlier that I would expect the Lions to attack this game like a normal game. The one caveat to that I will have is I think Ben Johnson's play calling might be a little different if this was a game that they had to have, right? Probably going to save a couple of looks for Minnesota next week. Probably going to save Jahmyr Gibbs' usage a little bit for next week, knowing that obviously they don't have David Montgomery anymore. So I don't think that Jahmyr Gibbs is going to get the action and the workload that he's going to get next week against Minnesota. I think this is more of a Jared Goff game. I think the Lions throw the ball a little bit more tonight, so we'll go over 246.5 passing yards for Jared Goff. And then I also like Isaac Garendo's longest rush to be over 14.5 yards tonight. I talked about the Lions, all those injuries that they have, especially on their D-line. Garendo's back tonight. He's going to play. I'll go over 14.5 rushing yards for Garendo on his longest rush. So that's what we got Monday Night Football. We also got a college bowl game kicking off here in about an hour and a half, and I really like Iowa today against Missouri. It's a 2.5, which has proven to be a key number in college football bowl games this year because of the overtime games that we've seen. And obviously, once you get to a third overtime, if you have that 2.5 in your back pocket, regardless of who wins in triple overtime or quadruple overtime, whatever it is, you're a winner. So I know a lot of people are waiting for the 3 with Iowa. I don't think it's going to pop up again. I would just take them +2.5 against Missouri, because you do have a low total at 40.5. Both teams are missing their best offensive players. For Missouri, they're going to be missing their wide receiver, Luther Burden. And then for Iowa, they're going to be missing their running back, Caleb Johnson. I just love backing Iowa in bowl games because even though they're a tough watch and they're usually abysmal on offense, I always know what kind of effort I'm going to get out of them. And in bowl season, that's half the battle. Are these teams motivated? Are they going to be prepared? Are they going to be well coached? That's what Iowa is. That's why they win 8-9 games every single year, because they know their identity. They're always solid on defense. They always want to run the ball on offense. And Missouri is one of those teams this year. Coming into the year, they had so much expectations. This was a team that a lot of people thought could make the college football playoff. Last year in bowl season, they beat Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl. That was a massive win. Now they got to turn around this season with all this expectations. Their quarterback, Brady Cook, has been injured in and out of the lineup. I like Iowa today, +2.5 against Missouri. All right, we got a promo from our friends at BetMGM. We've all had our first touchdown bet vultured or called back before. With BetMGM's Pro Football Second Chance, we're giving you a second chance on first touchdown bets this season. You can place any first touchdown score wager, and if your player doesn't score first but scores second, you get your entire stake back in cash. No opt-in required. I'd look at some George Kittle tonight, +750 to find the end zone first for San Francisco. All right, let's go to some games that I would bet right now in the NFL, and we also got a college bowl game coming up later this week. Week 18 in the NFL is always so tough, right? The lines don't come out until late Sunday night. We're waiting to see who are the teams that are going to play their starters, who are the teams that are going to rest some guys, what's the motivation going to be like. Week 18, a lot of people hate it, but I actually love it because there's a chance that a lot of these lines move, and you get a pretty good indication of what teams are going to show up and what teams probably aren't. We will start with the Jacksonville Jaguars at +5.5 against the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, what a disgusting loss that was for the Colts yesterday. I don't know what's worse, losing to the Giants or giving up 43 points to Drew Lock and the Giants. It's just a horrendous performance. The Giants hadn't scored 30 points all season, let alone 40. And with your season on the line in a must-win game, Indianapolis defense puts out that performance. So what's left for Indianapolis to play for? Like, how do you think they respond after a game like that? They had a chance to make the playoffs, even though it was a slim chance. They had a chance. They lose to the worst team in football. Giants hadn't won a home game all season. They finally won one. You give up 43 points. Richardson's probably not going to play. Flacco's probably going to be out there slinging it. Like, is the Colts defense now going to be motivated to go up against this Jacksonville offense? On the flip side, Jags are continuing to fight. Mac Jones wants a job in this league. Brian Thomas is playing really well. ETN's running really hard. It feels like these guys are still playing pretty hard for Doug Peterson, who, even if he's not back next year with the Jags, maybe he's auditioning for a head coaching job elsewhere or an offensive coordinator position or something like that. So I like these week 18 NFL games when you have a team like the Colts who had everything to play for. They were a big favorite. They lose a heartbreaker. They play terrible. And now they have nothing to play for. And I think they're done. I think they're checked out. I think they're looking forward to the offseason. I think Shane Steichen's on the hot seat. Chris Ballard, their GM's on the hot seat. They're a mess. Not only are they a mess, but they're a favorite, and they're a 5.5-point favorite. I like Jacksonville plus the points. I like the Jags on the money line as well. Next up, and this is going to be a really interesting game, the Broncos and the Chiefs, right? What do you do with a game like this when we know Mahomes isn't going to play, Kelsey's not going to play, Chris Jones isn't going to play, there are going to be other couple other starters for Kansas City that don't play in this game as well. But at the end of the day, you still got Andy Reid, and you still got Steve Spagnuolo for the Kansas City Chiefs as well. And it's also an opportunity for these other guys on the Chiefs to step up and make some plays. Carson Wentz maybe didn't think he'd ever play a game in the NFL again, and he's got a great opportunity on Sunday to go out against one of the best defenses in the NFL, who's going to be fully motivated because if they win, they're in the playoffs. And Carson Wentz got a chance to not only show the Chiefs, but also show teams around the league that he can still play a little bit. I think Andy Reid's going to put in a really good game plan. We were talking about this, too, a couple weeks ago when the Texans were favored against Kansas City and it looked like Mahomes wasn't going to play. Kansas City was home dogs in that game initially at +2.5. I talked about how I like Kansas City in that game because I think the Chiefs or looking forward to the opportunity to playing without Mahomes. All the Chiefs have heard all season is how they're the biggest fraud ever at 15-1. They're no good. There's a crazy stat out there of all these teams in the NFL that haven't scored 30 points. And before yesterday, it was like the Giants, the Raiders, the Patriots, and the Chiefs. All those other teams are like 2- and 3-win teams. And the Chiefs, of course, have won 15. I think Kansas City's looking forward to the opportunity with Mahomes and Kelce not being out there to prove that even with those guys out, they can still be competitive and they can still win a game. And look, when you're a team like Denver, right, Bo Nix is a rookie at the end of the day. All the pressure is on the Broncos in this game. This is now the third week that they have had a chance to clinch a playoff berth, and they've had some tough back-to-back losses on the road. Now they come back home. People are feeling good. The spread's gone from 7.5 to 9.5. It's still a divisional game. Kansas City's still going to play them tough. They still got a good defense. Give me all those points with Kansas City plus 9.5 against Denver. I'll also take all the points with Atlanta plus 7.5, or excuse me, with Carolina plus 7.5 against Atlanta. Kind of a similar handicap to the Jags and Colts game, right? Colts had a chance to obviously, even though it was slim, make the playoffs. They lose, they're eliminated. Well, Atlanta, if they would have won last night and then won this game against Carolina, they would be in the playoffs. Obviously a devastating loss, right? I mean, just the way that they tied that game with Pitts and they had a chance on the long field goal to win it, and then you go to overtime, Jaden Daniels leads Washington down the field, you don't even get a chance, you don't even get a crack at it in OT. Really tough loss for Atlanta. And look, they're all humans at the end of the day, right? They understand that Tampa's a 2-touchdown favorite against the Saints. They know they're probably not going to the playoffs. They know their season isn't over. And we get the Panthers, who have been awesome the final 6 weeks of the season. I know they got blown out by Tampa yesterday, but Bryce Young continues to play really well. They continue to put up points. And I think Carolina wants to finish the season really strong. They want a nice performance in a divisional game heading into next year, kind of their springboard into 2025. I think we're getting a max effort here out of Carolina. Where Atlanta, where are they at after knowing that they're not going to make the playoffs and not win the division? Give me the points with Carolina at plus 7.5. I'll also take Seattle minus 3 against the Rams. It's going to be interesting to see what LA does on Sunday, because even though the Rams clinch the NFC West, they know they're in the playoffs. If they lose and Tampa wins, they're the 4 seed, whereas they win, they're the 3 seed. With all that being said, though, the Rams rely so much on their top-end guys. They rely so much on Stafford and Puka and Cooper Kupp and Kyren Williams and some of these veteran older players. They really, I don't think they can afford to get them injured just because of battling over a 3 seed or a 4 seed. So the line is telling you that some of those top guys probably aren't going to play. I would agree with it as well. We've talked about all year on this show, Geno Smith, how much better he is when he plays indoors in a dome as opposed to outside. So I like Seattle. Think first-year head coach Mike McDonald. Even though they're not going to be in the playoffs, I think they want to end the year the right way. I'll take Seattle minus 3 against the Rams. And then finally, a college football bet that I like that I think is going to move. I'll take the over 51.5 in Ole Miss and Duke. Duke's going to be on their backup quarterback, which is why this line is ballooned up to 17.5. Problem is Ole Miss has some defenders in the transfer portal. I really don't think they're going to be all that motivated defensively, quite frankly, with you. And I think they're going to be able to score into the 30s, maybe the 40s against Duke. So I think it's going to be an over game. I like over 51.5 in the Gator Bowl between Duke and Ole Miss. All right, let's go to Model Make Money. Bring on our guy, Shani Sharp. As I get a quick little water break here, Shani Sharp will update you on some of the 5-star plays BetQL has for us today.
Yeah, Peach. You know, Merry Christmas to everyone out there. So I'm going to go well. ISO here. But so yeah, we got 2 5-star plays today for everyone out there. The first one, they're both in college basketball. First one is Oakland at number 23, Arkansas. The 5-star play is the under at 141. The model sees this as a 136 total. That's a 5-point difference here. And there's 66% of the public is betting the over in this game, maybe thinking they saw what Oakland did to Coach Cal last year in the tournament.
Yeah.
But, you know, Jack Golke's gone. So the model doesn't see Oakland scoring that much. They actually have them as a C offensive rating, while Arkansas has an A defensive rating. The other one here is Loyola Marymount at Pac-2 representative Washington State, the under at 150. The model has this set at 145, so another 5-point differential in the total between what the model has and what the books have. And 76% of the public are on the over, kind of the same situation here. They don't have Loyola Marymount as a very good offensive team, while the Washington State is a really solid defensive team here. So expect these two teams going up against some major programs here to struggle a little bit to score the basketball. And so, yeah, those are your two five-star plays today, Peach.
Love that. That's like the Shawnee Sharp sports betting minute, right? Say that five times fast. I kind of love that. So we got two totals tonight from the BetQL model. They like under in Oakland, Arkansas, and under in Loyola Marymount and Wazoo as well. And for those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1 to 5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, well, Shawnee Sharp and the BetQL model just gave us a couple college basketball bets. There are six games that I am eyeing on this Monday slate. We got bowl action coming up in about an hour. We got Monday Night Football. We also got college basketball. We got some conferences starting to get underway in conference play. Not the Big Ten, though, as Michigan's going to be taking on Western Michigan. Western Michigan, 27.5-point underdogs in this game against Sparty. For me, this is really just kind of all about the scheduling spot. This is going to be a game that tips off at 3 p.m. Eastern time on a Monday during the holiday break. A lot of students won't be there. It's a weird start, middle of the day on a weekday. Your massive favorites. Michigan State really isn't a team that's built to blow people out by 30 points. So even though Western Michigan's not very good, I think this is a little too many points considering the spot and it just being a weird 3 p.m. Eastern game on a Monday. I'll take Western Michigan plus 27.5. Big 12 play does get going tonight. We got number 7 Cincinnati on the road taking on Kansas State. Bearcats laying 3.5 in the Little Apple. And look, I mean, usually the Octagon of Doom is a really difficult place to play in. Kansas State's just not a very good team this year. They're like 93rd in KenPom this season. Cincinnati, meanwhile, they do have a good team and they have a really good defense. And defense, as we know, is what travels in basketball. So even though this could be a low-scoring, ugly game, Cincinnati might go through some droughts offensively. I think their defense carries them. I think they cover the spread. Give me Cincinnati minus 3.5 against K-State. Then we got TCU and Arizona. Arizona laying 14.5 in this game. The total is 144.5. I'm going with the under in this game, under 144.5. Now, Arizona, obviously the first couple years under Tommy Lloyd's been a really good team. Top 10 team, top 2 seed, really good offensive squad. That hasn't been Arizona, though, this year. Their offense just isn't getting it done. And usually a team that we see is like a top 10 pace offensively, they're actually 44th in pace this year. And a lot of that is, I think, Tommy Lloyd's telling his team, because they're a better defensive team this year than they are offensively, they're not going quite as fast. Meanwhile, TCU, top 25 defensive team. So this game feels like 72-59, 72-61 to me. I'll go under 144.5. Well, Shawnee Sharp brought it up. We got Arkansas and Oakland tonight, which means we got John Calipari going up against Oakland. And on this show, that brings back some good memories. And we had Oakland take down Kentucky. Arkansas favored by 17.5 tonight. The total is 141.5. And for me, honestly, that's the handicap. John Calipari lost to this team in the first round of the tournament last year when he was the head coach at Kentucky. Pretty much got him fired with the Wildcats. Well, now he gets another crack at Greg Campy in Oakland, and this is nowhere near the same team. There's no more Jack Golke. There's no more Trey Townsend. Oakland's having a really tough year. And I think Arkansas and Cal's players want him to get some revenge on Oakland. And I think John Calipari wants to beat this team by 40. So give me the Hogs, minus 17.5 against Oakland. Really good mid-major game tonight. We got Bryant going up against Grand Canyon. Grand Canyon, 13.5-point favorites. They are so tough to beat at home. Both of these teams are electrifying. They play at two of the fastest paces in college basketball. That's why I'm looking at the total at 159.5, because Grand Canyon loves to go fast, and they score at home, and they're really tough to beat. I think Bryant's going to be able to put up some points, too. We'll go over 159.5 in Grand Canyon and Bryant. And then finally, number 3, Iowa State on the road tonight, taking on Colorado. This is a tricky game. I think these Big 12 teams are going to learn what a lot of those Pac-12 teams learned, is Colorado is not an easy place to go to in the middle of the week and play a game. Iowa State's having a really good season. This feels like a potential upset. I'll just take Colorado in the first half at +5.5. You know, you're adjusting to the altitude and you're dealing with a tough road game. You got to go to the middle of the country. I'll take Colorado in the first half, first 20 minutes. I could see this being similar to when Iowa State played Iowa. They got off to a rough first half and then kind of turned it around in the second half. So I'll just take it +5.5 with the Buffs in the first half. All right, let's talk some football, folks. Time to dive into our glass ball. So we look at some Super Bowl futures here on the show. We pretty much know all the teams that are going to be in the NFL playoffs. We're just waiting to see the last team in the AFC, and we're waiting to see who the winner of the NFC South is, even though it looks like it's going to be Tampa Bay. So thought it would be a good time to look at Super Bowl futures on both sides. For me in the AFC, it's really simple. I think it comes down to two teams to bet a future on. I think it's Kansas City, or I think it's Baltimore. I think it's one of those two teams. I know a lot of people might like Buffalo as well. I just kind of think the Bills peaked a little bit too early. Their defense against elite teams does worry me as well. And it looks like potentially Buffalo could meet Baltimore in the divisional round. And even though that game would be in Baltimore, which would help the Bills, Ravens are a bad matchup for Buffalo, and I think with Derrick Henry now, that could be tough with the Bills to deal with. So, and the fact that you're getting better number on Baltimore at +700, I like that price better for them to win the Super Bowl. Kansas City is +375. If I had to make a bet, I'd still take the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl at +375, but if you were looking at another AFC team, I would take the Ravens as well. Whether it's Denver or Cincinnati or Miami who gets in, any one of those teams, I'm not a believer in any of them. Pittsburgh, I think, ran out of gas. The Chargers, even though Jim Harbaugh is a great coach, they just don't quite have enough talent yet. And then the Houston Texans, I think we all agree, are just, they're a dead team walking. Too many injuries, not very good. They're going to get exposed by one of these top teams. So for me, it comes down to Kansas City and Baltimore. I think the Ravens are the best team not only in the AFC, but I think they're the best team in the NFL. And it's been that way, honestly, for the last, like, 3 or 4 years. They're so talented, and they are the team that consistently beats up on the other good teams in the NFL more than anybody. The problem is, when we get to the postseason, they're just not that team that we see for so much of the regular season. A lot of that has to do with the play calling, and because in a lot of these big games, they forget to abandon the run. But now that you have Derrick Henry there, how can you possibly forget to abandon the run? What I love about the Ravens is they're peaking at the right time. Their defense is playing way better. Lamar's unbelievable. Derek's running the ball really well. They got weapons on the outside, and I like their price at +700. So for me, Chiefs or Ravens in the AFC. As for the NFC, it's where it gets interesting. I think the NFC is where you could potentially take some long shots. I think Tampa Bay, Washington, Green Bay, all very interesting long shots. And then amongst the favorites, I think the Eagles are the only team that I would buy into. I just think Detroit has way too many injuries. I think those injuries on defense are going to end up just being their kryptonite. Minnesota, as unbelievable a story as they have been and Sam Darnold has been, they're a team that's, they're really fortunate. And you just, I don't want to back teams that get outgained consistently, win the turnover luck, all those kind of things. It just tends to not be something that you want to back in the postseason. So I don't want to back those two teams. For me, you know, Tampa's an interesting team. Baker's played so well this year, and their offense is really good, too. Just don't really love Todd Bowles, and I don't love that defense. Washington is interesting, too. You know, they're kind of this year's Houston Texans, and I feel like if they just go up against Philadelphia, that'll be a tough matchup. So if they can avoid Philly in the first round and get the sixth seed and play the Rams and then potentially either Minnesota or Detroit, Washington could be worth a look. And then also Green Bay. I would hate Green Bay playing Philadelphia in the first round because I don't think they win that game. But if they get the sixth seed and play the Rams as a three seed, then I think Green Bay could be interesting. So I kind of like some long shots in the NFC, more so favorites in the AFC, but a lot of interesting value there in the NFL playoffs. All right, folks, let's wrap the show. DJ's plays here on Send It In. We will start with my prop lock of the day, Jared Goff, over 246 passing yards against the 49ers. So I mentioned I think the Niners are going to get up early in this game. I think they're going to be leading after the first quarter. I like them first quarter money line. I think the Lions are going to be in chase mode. I also think because this game essentially means nothing for Detroit, win or lose, they still got to win next week against Minnesota to get the number one seed. I don't think they run Jahmyr Gibbs as much as we will see next week and in the playoffs. So because of that, because of the game script, I think Detroit's going to be trailing. And because I don't think they use Gibbs quite as much, I'm going Jared Goff over 246.5 passing yards. My dog of the day, we're going to the Music City Bowl in college football. Give me Iowa plus 2.5 against Missouri. I normally always back Iowa in bowl season because I know what I'm getting out of a Kirk Ferentz team. I know they're going to be well coached. I know they're going to play hard. I know they're going to be good on defense, and I know they're going to run the football. And a lot of the times, those formula work, especially against a team like Missouri that thought at the beginning of the season they might be a college football playoff team. Give me Iowa plus 2.5. Shawnee Sharp, real quick, any bet for you in this Lions and Niners game tonight? Anything you like?
Yeah, Peach, I'm going to take Ricky Pearsall over 20.5 receiving yards. We've seen his snap share go up, his target share go up, went over this last week against the Dolphins. Lions banged up in secondary, and the 49ers eliminated. They're going to want to get their rookies some more snaps, some more reps to get them going for the offseason.
I like that. Yeah, good price, too, on Pearsall at 20.5 receiving yards. And then my best bet tonight, give me San Francisco, plus 3.5 against the Lions. I think the Niners win this game outright, folks. This line stinks. It really does. Talked about earlier in the show. Feels like this season we've seen a couple games where nobody's like San Francisco. That came against the Bears a couple weeks ago and week one against the Jets. Niners arguably played their two best games of the year in those games. Nobody likes them tonight against Detroit. Give me San Francisco to cover the number plus 3.5 against the line. So once again, our prop block, Jared Goff over passing yards, 246.5. Iowa's our dog of the day, plus 2.5 against Missouri. Shawnee Sharp's on Ricky Pearsall, over 20.5 receiving yards. And give me the San Francisco 49ers, plus 3.5. Take some money line as well against the Lions. That is my best bet of the day. Appreciate you guys tuning in. New Year's Eve show tomorrow. Previewing a ton of college football, NFL as well. We'll see you then.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin, but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.